Edition of the Unfiltered Podcast, part of the Santa Mirta Podcast Network. I'm Ben, and I also write an online column about Santa Cruz, California called The Weekly Dump that I publish every Thursday over on santamirta.com when I'm not pontificating here. So it was a pretty busy, big, drama-filled week in Santa Cruz, obviously. Anyone who lives here or has been paying attention recently knows that seemingly all we ever talk about is the festering drug camp we've allowed to squat on very visible public property for the past 6 months. It's been the poster child of the city of Santa Cruz basically giving up after a massive overreach of oblivious, poorly executed public policy. So Monday, we finally got the court ruling we've been waiting on from a federal judge in San Jose, who confirmed what a Santa Cruz judge confirmed, who confirmed what our own fire chief declared, that this drug camp was a health and public safety hazard. Has this information been lost on the city council, the city manager, and the police chief, who are directly responsible for this? Or were they willfully ignorant while selling the community a load of progressive mierda about how they can't do anything about it, but they finally did? Or how it's safe and should stay open, according to special interest sycophant and community trader Drew Glover, who has the gall to collect a city-supplied paycheck while he sues the city. Talk about biting the hand that feeds you. Once the San Jose judge ruled in favor of the city, it was a big green light after that. Literally hours later, the city was posting eviction notices at Camp Bernal. And by Friday night before 9 p.m., the entire camp was cleared of human refuse, fenced in, locked up, and monitored with 24/7 security to prevent anyone from going back in. I'm hearing that if anyone wants to claim anything left inside, they'll have a few hours to do so on Monday, and then it'll be stored for 90 days before they toss it. And then, because we have to keep Santa Cruz weird, we've also got the local angry old homeless anarchist wannabe, well known to SCPD and others, who made some veiled threats on social media about blowing stuff up and setting stuff on fire on move-out day. Basically, he was inciting a riot, according to the legal definition of inciting a riot. SCPD brought him in for some kind of questioning. Are you comfortable? Can we get you anything? But it didn't appear he was actually arrested. Then on move-out day, there was a small explosion of some kind inside the camp. Chief Mills went on the news talking about how it was confirmed to be an incendiary explosive device, and someone was actually arrested as a suspect in this case. They even showed the suspect getting the perp walk out of the park on KSBW News. Then a few hours later, we hear he's been released and no charges were filed. And now they claim it was a cooking accident involving an unopened can of beans on a hot stove. So why was Mills grandstanding about an explosive device on the news, and his words don't amount to a can of beans? It's just such a self-made dysfunctional mess we are dealing with here. But there is a silver lining to this cloud of confusion. I will never have to talk about or use the expression Camp Bernal ever again, I hope. Honestly, I'm sick of talking about it. Now, if we can just make the grifters go away too, maybe they can find another city council to grift. Maybe they'll get arrested again. Maybe they'll let Saul Goodman take their money for dubious lawsuits and be grifted by a better grifter. And maybe some of the people living in that squalor will finally get the help they need by getting the hell out of that pigsty. Just maybe. So I'm going to take a quick break and refill my cup. When I come back, my friends Big Joe, Melissa, and Sharon will join me live from the Abbey. We talked about what we think happens next once the camp is shut down. Enjoy a little music while I'm gone. Be right back. Okay, I'm back. It's a Friday morning. I met up with some friends at the Abbey in Santa Cruz, and we chatted about the pending homeless camp abatement. Without further ado, let's go to the Abbey. So, Joe, you know, we're both aware of the camp being evicted today, tomorrow, over the next couple of days. What do you think is going to happen to the people living in the camp? What do you think about the city's response? And what's next? What's next for Santa Cruz as far as clearing folks out of this camp and where they're going to go?
I've always had complete faith that the SCPD is going to respond appropriately to this, and the camp will be shut down. What I hope happens is that these people realize that they're hit rock bottom and that they seek help, whatever help that might be. But what I think is going to happen is they're going to move back up into the hills just in time for fire season.
Well, that won't be too good. But I do think there is some value in at least breaking up the sheer number of people congregating in one area, and it'll make it a lot easier to deal with people in terms of when problems arise. And Melissa's sitting here with us as well. So, Melissa, what do you think is going to happen next as far as the people in the camp and the city's response and the community response, too? How is the community going to respond to, you know, what happens next? What do you think?
I'm really hoping that the Santa Cruz community does what we've always done when people are struggling, which is reach a hand out for those that want help. So I'm really, my hope for the campers are to maybe just take a look at where they're at and ask themselves, is this where they want to be? You know, do I have a family member? Do I have a friend that I can reach out to at this point to ask what are my next steps that are realistic, right? I think a big issue here down at the camp is that there's a lot of misinformation because the people are following, you know, and latching on to people who have made them promises that are not based in reality, you know? So my hope is that these people get in touch with services that are available, because if we're talking about shelter and we have empty shelter beds, then there's no excuse at this point to reach out to all the various options that have been given you and, you know, get real. If you want to shoot dope, the end result of that is that you will end up in a jail cell. You will end up dead, or you will end up hospitalized, you know, with, you know, the end result of like heavy duty drug addiction is not a beautiful end at all for anybody, for your family, for people that love you. And I know there's a person out there that loves you, and it's time to really, like, you know, dig deep and reach out, because there is help, you know, but that help is not enabling you to further cause damage to yourself. And this local community here in Santa Cruz that is really, you know, a beautiful, thriving community of families and a mix of young and old who, you know, we care about people. So stop shopping this false narrative that, you know, everything we offer is not good enough, and just take the next steps and be responsible for yourself. And that's my hope for these campers, is that, you know, the people have spoken, the courts have spoken, and, you know, it's time to figure out next steps.
Thanks, Melissa. I totally agree with everything you're saying.
And Sharon, what are your thoughts on what happens next?
So what is next for the Ross camp? I don't know. Earlier, some people were willingly moving and some were not. I'm just going to share my hopes instead. My hope is that this goes as peacefully as possible. I hope that as people are transitioning into the three shelters that are available, that they find exactly what they need there and what they want. My hope is that the people that want to get clean have a safe, loving environment to do that in. And my hope is that the people that are not willing yet get willing soon. I hope that people that need mental health services are able to get them. I hope this whole transition gives them hope and gives them desire to live to their fullest potential. Something that I'm seeing that I find really disturbing is some of the advocates are just so mean. They're just mean. And I don't think they have these folks' welfare at the top of their heart. I think some of them, at least, are just simply in this to fight. And that's abusive to the people they claim they're fighting for. A perfect example would be during the federal court last Friday, there was a report that a woman at the camp got raped while all these advocates were in court. And their response to that was that city officials are lying to them in a federal court. So city officials are going to commit perjury in a federal court to prove their point, where in reality, there's a potential rape victim that doesn't have any support because that would not look good for so-and-so's cause. So what that looks and sounds like to me is some of these advocates are more attached to being right than doing the next right thing. I think that's called narcissism. However, those few big loudmouths do not represent the true advocacy that is happening out there, the ones that are being of service to this community. There are some really good people that are in solution, and to them, I say thank you. I also want to give a big shout out to all our first responders, Santa Cruz Police Department, Santa Cruz Fire Department, AMR, all the city workers, the Rangers. You guys are simply amazing and probably feel unappreciated. So please know there is a fair amount of the community that is very, very grateful for you. So I am hopeful, but I'm not in denial. I realize that there are still going to be people with no place to go. I realize that there is still going to be crime. I realize that there's still going to be loud, noisy, self-centered advocates. But I do feel that Santa Cruz is taking a step in the right direction.
And, you know, I think that one of the outcomes from this decision, you know, finally coming after a lot of false narratives, like you said, have stalled the process, is I honestly do feel like people that want treatment are going to get treatment at this point. You know, I think that I have actually been down to the Benchlands and I've seen where the new camp is being set up, and it's a nice setup. So it's significantly different than what's going on behind Ross, and you can't even compare the two camps. One of them is a managed area and the other one is completely unmanaged at this point. So I think that if nothing else, the most positive outcome that's going to come out of this eviction, because that's basically what it is people that need help, that want help, will get help. And the people that don't want help, that feel they don't need help, they can move on. They can find their own other means. But, you know, at this point, if you aren't willing to accept all of the help that the city and the county and others are willing to provide as an alternative, I really don't know what other options are out there. So anyway, I think that hopefully things will go smoothly. Hopefully there won't be any violence in terms of, you know, the transition. And it sounds to me like a lot of the people that have taken up the offer from the city and moved over to San Lorenzo Park are appreciative and seem to be, at least from what I've heard, saying that it's a much better option than what they were in behind Ross. So it seems like the only people that are trying to keep the camp in Ross or keep the camp where it currently is are people that are looking for attention or people that have ulterior motives to keep it there. So if you're dealing drugs in that camp, sure, you want to keep it as things are. Or if you're just looking to get yourself on TV, then you can talk a lot of nonsense and say you speak for everybody, but you really don't speak for everybody. So I think, and that's the other positive outcome of this, is I think it will ultimately marginalize some of these people that are seeking attention off of some of the most vulnerable people. And hopefully it'll make them go away. So thanks, you guys. Appreciate the chat.
You're listening to Unfiltered with Ben Dover on the Santa Mirna Podcast Network.
Now do it like you do at a council meeting.
Yeah. Well, see, Joe, you came in. Don't talk.
Now you one fucking more. Know,
yeah,
that was
because
perfect.
Now I'm going to have to try to voice you out. Okay.
Thank you.
So since we had that chat on Friday morning, the camp fully closed and everyone was kicked out later that night. Sounds like the city plans to send in the hazmat team and clean up squad sometime on Monday afternoon, after people have one last chance to claim their crap that they left behind. The whole abatement process seemed to actually go pretty smoothly, so I give the city and SCPD and the Rangers and everyone involved in that purge some props. But again, hate to sound like a broken record, but that's like giving the city props for cleaning up its own mess. Something even the squatters refuse to do. We have to pay now to go in and clean up after these people. We have to pay to dig their needles and batteries and other toxins they left behind with city resources. I'd love to get an accurate accounting of all related expenses to this abatement, including human resource and legal time spent in court, associated costs to various departments, including SCPD, Public Works, Parks and Rec, and even the city manager's office staff time. We're talking literally millions of dollars since November of last year. Wasted. What do we have to show for all that money we spent? A dirty-ass drug camp that we still need to clean up. I hope we learned a hard, valuable lesson here, but it's obvious some people didn't. Like the city council member who was caught in a lie on the witness stand in federal court after testifying against the city that pays him to serve his entire community and not just his little special interest groups. I know there's been a lot of talk about a recall, so I just want to spend a minute talking about what I think of that idea. Let me first say, I understand the strong desire, given his recent actions in court, among other reasons. But I also think recall efforts require a lot of hard work getting signatures. That would be the greatest challenge to this, I'm pretty sure, given the fact that he only garnered about 13% of the vote in the last election, that a recall has a pretty good chance if it can make the ballot. It's at least 50% without any demographics. Yes or no? And all we need is a simple majority from the voters at the ballot. But based on some very quick research I did, recall supporters would need about 9,000 signatures. It would have something like 5 months to collect that number of verified signatures. So you'd want to collect more, closer to 10,000. Can it be done? Anything can be done if you want it done badly enough. The key to the effort would be organization. It would require lots of volunteers going out gathering signatures. We know Glover's fan club is really good at doing that stuff. Would his critics step up? I don't know. But I would support it. So we've got another city council meeting this Tuesday. I'm sure there'll be lots of grandstanding from Martin Luther Glover over the city's uprooting of this poor, vulnerable drug camp. And of course, we'll have lots more to talk about on Thursday in the next weekly dump. So that's going to do it for me this week. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Be sure to check out the weekly dump over on santamirada.com. And you can listen to all the previous unfiltered podcasts on SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify, and Google Play. And I also set up a new podcasts page on the Santa Mirada website with all the archived podcasts as well. I'll be back next week with more unfiltered news and views from Santa Cruz. And don't forget, we get what we're willing to tolerate. Adios.
Time, don't be living on the line. I don't need a friend. I got more than on my mind.